Buzz.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com. For many, it was to be the brightest and best New Year gift, but in the end, it became a no-show. Rajnikant, or shall we say, superstar Rajnikant, pulled out from his plans to float the much-anticipated political party less than 6 months before Tamil Nadu heads for polls, highlighting yet again his mercurial nature. With the state's political landscape dominated by the ruling AIADMK and the DMK, which together cornered around 63% of votes polled in 10 assembly elections held since 1977, Rajni's entry was supposed to burst open new possibilities. From the Economic Times, this is Arijit Barman, and you're listening to the Morning Brief. But are movie stars really relevant? To what extent personality cults actually influence voters in a polarized India desperate for real issues? These are some of the questions I'm seeking an answer in this episode's podcast. To help me navigate, I've invited very special guests. Joining us from New Delhi is Vasanthi, veteran political commentator and author of books like The Lone Empress, A Portrait of Jayalalitha, Cutouts, Cast and Cine Stars. And a recent book on Karunanidhi has also hit the markets, I hear. Joining her from Hyderabad, Telakapalli Ravi, a keen observer of Andhra politics, which has also seen its share of celebrity politicians. And from Bengaluru, my colleague, K.R. Balasubramaniam. Thank you very much, all of you, for taking time out and joining us. Balu, if I come to you first, would Rajni really have made a serious dent to the hegemony of the two Dravidian political parties in Tamil Nadu?
Hi, Arijit. Thank you for inviting me. As we all know, in Tamil Nadu, any political grouping, any political formation has to work as a satellite between one of the two Dravidian politics. Mm-hmm. This is not excluding BJP and Indian National Congress. Even if they have to have a foothold in Tamil Nadu, they have to align with one of these two political parties. As for superstar Rajnikant, it was quite evident in the last couple of years that his health was not all right, especially after he underwent renal surgery. The immunity level in a person who has undergone transplant is very low. So the chances of getting infection is very high. So that's why such doctors advise people who have undergone major organ transplants to stay away from, from public exposure. In Rajni's case, the same thing happened, and in my opinion, it was expected, number one. Number two, politics, as we all know, involves a strenuous, traveling, addressing a large number of political meetings and rallies, etc. So it was kind of people like me, I had expected that, even if he had entered, he would not have stayed on in politics for long, number one. Number two is that you asked a very relevant question, whether it would have made any impact. I don't think. Maybe BJP, he would have definitely, had he aligned with BJP and AIADMK, for example, he would have eaten into DMK's vote.
Right.
And he would have weakened DMK because Rajni doesn't have a vote share of his own. He would have created by eating into the votes of AIADMK and DMK and other fringe political groupings.
Right. Vasanthi, this health issue, the kidney transplant, etc., were very much there, prevalent, even early December when he talked about, taking the plunge finally. So is this just another manifestation of a mercurial character, or you feel that this is, he was literally misled?
No, I think it was all this mirage kind of a thing, boosting up and then raising the hopes of his fans and all that. Yeah. What is surprising to all the journalists in Tamil Nadu is You know, when he made that bombastic announcement that his arrival at the political scene is certain, in 2017, he made that announcement, December 2017. And then now we know that he had had this kidney transplant in 2016.
Right.
So how did he think that he would be fit enough to go around and then canvass for an election of this kind of magnitude and all that? It is really puzzling to me and to many others in Tamil Nadu. But then, you know, this, you know, there were a lot of pressures. And also when somebody keeps goading you on and telling you that the mere strength of your fan club, the number, the astonishing number, which is more than what NGR had, you know, you tend to believe that you are indeed strong enough to just sweep the polls and come with just the strength of the fan clubs. It was totally unwise, and I mean, as far as politics goes, it doesn't happen that way. And there are a lot of differences between MGR's fan clubs and Rajinikanth's fan clubs. You know, the MGR became very popular with a mass following. He was a member of the DMK before he became the film actor. His fans were also members of the DMK and therefore formed a homogeneous group. During election time, they worked for the party. They were there, of course, for a political purpose. And with the approval of the star, you know, who was being groomed to be the future chief minister of the state, whereas Rajinikanth had no such background. And it was just the wish of the fans, who were all, you know, most of them were dropouts. And now they are as old as Rajinikanth. They started the fan clubs. The fan clubs just grew like mushrooms after a rainfall, you see. They're not like MGR's. It was a deliberate attempt on MGR's part to promote the fan clubs. They were part of the party. So, the you know, there were these fans of MGR, Rajinikanth also, they owe allegiance to different parties. So we do not know what would happen if Rajinikanth did at all start the party. But, you know, when he announced finally that he was indeed forming the party on the 3rd of December, he said, there was a kind of a tremor among the political parties. It did upset the DMK and the ADMK, because though Rajinikanth wouldn't have come to power, he would have dented both these parties' vote share. I'm sure of that.
Correct. As a disruptor. But Ravi, sitting in Hyderabad, where movie stars, right from NTR to Chiranjeevi, you know, do you feel that politics gives superstars literally a second lease of life, a medium to perhaps stay relevant and in the limelight even after their acting prime?
One thing is that it is pure politics, nothing to do with the cinema, glamour, or health issues here with Rajinikanth.
Right.
Right now, everybody is sure that he's a non-starter and he's not going to start. But he kept the drama going on from 96 to 2001. That is a complete 25 years. It is a silver jubilee of a non-starter cine politician.
So you're saying that Rajinikanth's political journey started in 1996.
96, when he announced that you vote against Jayalalitha.
Correct, correct.
You see, then I used to use one cliche that Rajinikanth says in Bhasha that you say one time, it amounts to 100 times.
Right.
But in politics, he said 100 times that it won't amount even to one time. So it is the other way around in politics. Rajinikanth and Andhra Pradesh, Chennai fully knows the limitations of star politicians. Mm-hmm. As Vasanthi Madam was telling, it is pure politics that MGR's role in cinema and politics are concerned. He's more serious actor, he's more serious politician than even NTR. It is like putting the cart before the horse. MGR, Karunanidhi and those people, their film foray and their political foray, they are totally different things. They are clear of both the things. Whereas in Rajini's case, it is a confusion from the very beginning and more intent on superstardom. Similarly, with Chiranjeevi and Pawan Kalyan also. I have a strong opinion that these actors are entering the politics to enable their clout in socio-political support. Things have become so interwoven that politics, cinema, business or commerce, you may say, and celebrity status, that one can't live without the other.
Correct.
So people were doubting this very much, but still Rajani wanted to keep the talk alive, the speculation alive. I'm a good fan of Rajinikanth, and I wish that he keep his health and he keeps going.
Vasanthi, Rajani's reliance on God, Vasanthi, that also seemed a little odd, because does it not clash with the ethos of a state that worshipped rationalists like E.V. Ramaswamy Periyar? Suddenly you find God, he is, as an actor, the messiah for many, but to rely on God and spirituality in today's politics wouldn't work.
No, actually, it's just a myth saying that spiritualism was not there in Tamil Nadu politics and all that. Neither the DMK nor the ADMK were godless. They, ADMK openly said they were thieves, and then, they just didn't adhere to the atheism of Periyar for a long time. Even MGR was a believer, though he didn't spell it out. But Jayalalitha was not shy of saying that she was a believer. She visited temples and all that. And even DMK, an offshoot of the DK, atheist Periyar's movement, even there, Annadurai, when he became the chief minister, he said the theme would be Ondre Kulam, Ondre Devam. That is, there's one community and one God. They never said there was no God. So it spiritualism was something new, a new metaphor that Rajinikanth brought that people couldn't understand what it was. And as far as Rajani's entry into politics is, why he made that statement in 2017 was assuming that there was a vacuum in the political scene, because Jayalalitha was dead and then Karunanidhi was ailing. And so they thought there was a vacuum in leadership. And no vacuum remains a vacuum for a long time. So it just gets filled up. And that's what happened. Karunanidhi's son, Stalin, proved himself to be the leader of the party in the parliamentary elections, winning 38 seats out of 39. And the ADMK also stabilized itself. It's all as everyone was thinking that ADMK would just collapse after Jayalalitha's death. It didn't happen. So there was no vacuum at all. By the time Rajinikanth made his statement again on December 3rd, 2020, there was no possibility of a grand entry of his, that could sweep the polls. But it was because of the BJP's pressurization. BJP wanted to enter Tamil Nadu somehow or the other. It had lost all its then it had it was holding just one seat in Kanyakumari before. Even that it lost during the parliamentary election. So it wants to somehow enter the state assembly. And they thought it could piggy ride on Rajinikanth, but Rajinikanth would definitely not have aligned with the BJP, I feel. That is my feeling, because it would hurt the minorities among his fans. So he would stand alone, he said, and contest all the 224. But then he must have realized in due course, it seems he has his own source of intelligence. And so he must have realized that he wouldn't, it wouldn't be so easy, because DMK and ADMK have been well structured and have an assured vote share of at least 30% each. So how would he come? He has not tested the waters yet. He has not even started the party. And he doesn't have the structure. structural base that these two giant parties have. And so he had to get out of this mess. He was being pressurized by the BJP. It was very sure. I mean, all it was a kind of an open secret that goes around in Tamil Nadu. And so he, you know, actually it was a divine intervention, this corona. And then his, of course, his health is not good. That is for sure. But then still he was being pressurized, which was very sad. And I'm very glad that he ultimately had the courage to say no and put his foot down.
But Balu, this decision, do you think it upsets BJP's plans the most?
Absolutely. What I have learned from my sources in Tamil Nadu is that they have a long strategy and they are not looking at this election, but the forthcoming Lok Sabha elections. That's where, you know, they are keeping their sights on. That's exactly what, because the numbers, this southern, the southern state of Karnataka, they already have a foothold. Tamil Nadu, they don't have a substantial or even a reasonable foothold. So they need the support of parties like ADMK and, people like Rajinikanth. They need all the support to get, because Tamil Nadu is a very large state with about 40 Lok Sabha seats. So it's a including Pondicherry, and it's a very significant for BJP. So that's exactly why they are working towards the next Lok Sabha election.
But Ravi, if you look at Andhra, everybody talks about NTR, but there were others. I mean, you mentioned Chiranjeevi and his extended family, including Pawan Kalyan. Now, the thing is, until and unless you have real issues on ground or real issues that strike a chord, you tend to become politically irrelevant. And even in the case of Rajinikanth, he seemed rather politically naive with some of the statements he'd made. I mean, the Sterlite comment that the state, if there's so much of protest, the state will become a graveyard. It really backfired. So, if there's no guarantee that success on screen will give you traction with the voters.
You're certainly right. You see, glamour won't bring votes as it is. With MGR or NTR, even NTR rode on a popular anti-Congress wave, which was already created there. And then this kind of religion, atheism, rationalism, these things are different. People can very easily distinguish. Rajinikanth's use of spiritual politics is actually a byproduct for BJP's kind of religious politics. Instead of using straight away BJP type of politics, he used the term, he brought this new term, spiritual politics. So otherwise, NTR himself is a demigod on Telugu screen. But he didn't actually rule for that long. He was elected thrice, no doubt about it. But his actual rule and his actual grip faded. Rajinikanth or even Madam knows very well that everybody is clear that AnnaDMK and DMK are their establishments. They're formidable formations. So Rajinikanth or anybody is not post-Nehru, post-Indira, post-Rajiv, post-MGR, post-Jayalalitha, post-NTR. We have seen so many scenarios where titans disappeared and the parties continued. So these are establishments. As you said rightly, people look at their issues, particularly problems of the day. Right now, people are bothered about corona, its after effects, employment, rights, tolerance, human rights, media freedom, etc. All these things count very much in people's minds. Not just a Basha will make all these things disappear. People are not that naive. Nor is Rajinikanth that naive, I tell you. Rajinikanth, how many times Gurumurthy met Rajinikanth? How many times Samil Urubi, that Manian? How many times he tried? You see, Rajinikanth and Jayalalitha explicitly supported Modi. Jayalalitha implicitly supported Ayodhya. So post-MGR, Jayalalitha, it is a big turn in Tamil politics. The earlier kind of Dravidian tinge and all those things have faded to some extent.
No, Jayalalitha was there on her terms. Jayalalitha aligned with BJP on her terms.
No, no, there is a point here. Though Jayalalitha was a friend of Modi and supported this Ram Mandir and all that, as long as she was alive, the BJP never dared to enter Tamil Nadu. It is also a fact that there is a section in the Tamil community now, Tamil Nadu, which wants a change. You see, they have seen the Dravidian rule for more than 50 years. And so there is a section. There are quite a number of people who want a change.
Vasanthi, the larger point that in this age of social media, 24-hour access to stars, you know, has that diminished the aura, the mystic of politicians? And for the millennial voter, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Yes, because times have changed. Especially the Tamil Nadu voters who were crazy. The outside world always could not understand the craze the voters had for film stars. But it happened for MGR. They may be star crazy, but they are more aware now. Mm-hmm. They are more aware, better educated, and are conscious of their political demands. They feel that film actors cannot behave like redeemers. When the latter enter the political arena late in their lives and with no practical knowledge of having worked with the people on the ground, they know whom to vote for. They expect more. They know, you know, even Kamal Hassan has entered and he contested even the parliamentary elections. And he's supposed to be having 4%.
Right.
But with just 4% vote share, he cannot dream of catching power because you need at least 30% vote share. And so it will take some time. Even if an actor is sincere and serious about his political...
We may also have to add Vijayakant.
Correct. Captain's another example. I mean...
Yeah. And now Vijayakant got 8% in the first attempt itself, but then there it was. He had to align with the Dravidian Party ultimately.
Right.
You know, he couldn't contest alone after that.
But ma'am, as you said, that considering movies still have a huge influence in popular culture,
yes,
across the southern states, do you feel that even if people like Rajinikanth, they don't jump right into active politics, but through their movies,
yes,
their politics will stay alive?
What politics do they have? I don't know. They just mouthed to the script that was written by somebody else. And the people thought it was the real person who was speaking all that. The fans deluded themselves. And in turn, Rajinikanth deluded himself that he was a big man. That's a tragedy.
Thank you all for joining us. Rajinikanth's, dare I say, flop show in electoral politics should hold a mirror to all Dravidian parties to look beyond cine stars and personality cults to create a new space in the political landscape. On-screen charisma is no formula for automatic political capital. Neither does it make up for the lack of political acumen and grassroots work. To succeed, one needs to connect with people, drive progressive change. Rajinikanth, I'm afraid, did not have either, other than fake promises of spiritual politics and a crusade against corruption. The pandemic had exposed the vulnerability of the economically weak, even in a state like Tamil Nadu. And in 2021, it could have been a watershed moment for a foundation of a much talked about third front in a state that's been dominated for years via a duopoly. But the rough and tumble of political life and its relentless pressure is very different from a film script with classy one-liners. So guess it's Gatam Gatam, at least for now, for Baba. I'm Arijit Barman and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Rachita Prasad and Nehal Chaliawala, who also coordinated the show. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please share it on your social media handles. We'll really appreciate it. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursdays, and Friday. Thank you for listening in and have a nice day. Goodbye and good luck.
Avaaz.com